20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Saturday, Packers fans. Welcome into the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks for being here today. We are going to finally get into some mock draft scenarios today that I'm going to work to kind of build out some different scenarios that I think could happen. And we're kind of going to go through them to see how Green Bay can go about attacking this draft, specifically in the first three rounds. This isn't necessarily predictive. It's not necessarily what I would do. It's not necessarily, you know, an exact perfect formula for what I think, again, could or should happen. What I think this is an exercise in trying to figure out how you sort of put the puzzle pieces together to build a perfect draft for Green Bay. And what I mean by that is sometimes the only way that you can kind of get a feel for where the value is in this draft is by going through these exact type of exercises. If you take a defensive end round one, what does that leave you with wide receiver, corner, offensive line through the remainder of the second and third rounds? If you don't take defensive end, can you find one later? If you don't take a defensive tackle, can you still find those? Like, I think going through these exercises are really important to understand if you want a certain type of player, is there a deadline? Is there a cutoff point? For example, I think with pass rusher, defensive end more specifically, I think there is. I like a lot of pass rushers in this draft. I think you start getting into the 40th, 50th range, you know, 40th or 50th overall pick in this draft. I think you're going to start to see them fall off kind of a cliff a little bit. And anything after maybe 45 or 50, I think you're going to see a pretty significant decrease in the overall talent at pass rusher, at edge rusher, I should say, than where you maybe would get a pass rusher early on in the draft. Whereas I feel like corner, defensive tackle, you might be able to find a little bit later. Wide receiver is another interesting one. There's a couple you can find around two. I think there's a couple you can find around three. But if you want something a little bit better, again, you might have to go a little bit more big game hunting in round one. And that's what I mean by trying to build the perfect draft is what is the best thing to sort of address first? One thing I will say is there is one double up I did today because I was able to get a second, third round pick, which allowed me to be a little bit more creative. But if Green Bay stays first, second, third round pick, right? Just three picks in the first three rounds. Maybe they move up a little, maybe they move down a little, but three picks in the first three rounds. One thing I'd be willing to predict today is there's not a double up in the first three rounds in this draft, meaning they're not going to go wide receiver in the first three rounds. They're not going to go two offensive linemen. They're not going to go two defensive tackles, two defensive ends, or two corners. Maybe defensive end, defensive tackle. That would be the closest thing, but I don't think they're going to double up on any one position in the first three rounds. I just don't think it's really, you know, kind of conducive to where this team is right now. Like, it's super helpful. You know, could they potentially use two wide receivers? Sure. You could find that argument and make it, especially as you go into 2026. If you're going to move on from Watson and Dobbs and maybe the bottom of the roster didn't impress the way that you wanted it to, and you're looking at Wicks and Reed, all right, you could maybe look at Wicks, Reed, and then two more wide receivers that you take in the first three rounds this year. Not impossible, but I don't see it as super likely. Two offensive linemen, that's a little bit tough, right? You have six guys that are ready to play and start right now. Adding one more is awesome. It gives you certainly a little bit more depth and competition along the line. Adding two in the top three, man, you love the depth along your offensive line, but it's at the expense of depth at probably corner, pass rush, you know, defensive tackle, and wide receiver. That's a tough one. You know, could you go two defensive ends? I actually don't think so. Not unless you're going to make a corresponding move. You've already got Rashawn Gary, LVN, Enigbare, Brenton Cox. Let's say you spend a first-round pick. Spending a third-round pick on one is going to give you a sixth player there, and then you still have some other guys that could potentially make a back end of the roster too, like an Aaron Mosby. I think that's probably overkill. Defensive tackle, again, maybe, but you've got Clark, Wyatt, Wooden, Brooks. I mean, you could theoretically cut Wooden. You know, Clark might be in the last year as a Packer. Devontae Wyatt might be in his last year as a Packer. So that one is maybe a little bit more believable. I would still say, you know, probably get one in the first three rounds and then get one on day three. This is a very deep defensive tackle draft. I don't think doubling up at defensive tackle makes sense, even though there's probably going to be some good ones in round two and three. If you do go like a Derek Harmon in round one, I think, again, that's probably a little bit too much on one position. Same at corner. You've invested in Hobbs. You've got Nixon. You've got Valentine. Bullard's going to play in the slot. You need to get probably two, maybe, you know, I could even see you going three corners in this draft, but two of them being in the top 100 also seems a little bit much. So the one thing I'll say is that I don't think they're going to double up, assuming they only have those three picks in the first three rounds. And again, I'm just talking days one and two here. Day three, if you want to start talking about predicting or building that, that just becomes so much of a crapshoot, and it's going to be so dependent on what they do in the first couple of days. And then, of course, what's on the board. Predicting the first 2 days or even kind of going through this exercise just for 2 days is a difficult enough exercise. Going into day three is, I think, you know, a little bit, probably just kind of a waste of time, if nothing else. We'll do a 7-round mock before we get to the draft next week. But for this exercise, it just really kind of didn't make sense. But with that in mind, with the idea that, all right, there's not going to be this double up in the first three picks, right? With that in mind, it sort of becomes this Rubik's Cube of, all right, if I take a defensive end early, that probably takes me out of any defensive ends in round two and three. Same thing with defensive tackle. Now those second and third round defensive tackles are basically kind of off the board. Same thing at wide receiver, corner, etc. And that's where you start going through these exercises and saying, all right, you know, if I take a, you know, Matthew Golden in round one, great. But what if I get to round two and either a Jack Beck or a Jaden Higgins are there and they're the best player on the board? Now I've already got Matthew Golden in round one. Is this the direction that I want to go in round two? Or maybe I go with Jack Beck in round two, but I really like Torrey Horton in round three. Like, again, these are sort of the things that you have to kind of play out and sort of just kind of, again, go through these exercises to see what are the possibilities here. And it's an inexact science for sure, because you might go into round three thinking that Torrey Horton's going to be there, and all of a sudden he goes two picks before you, and now your plans are foiled, and now you didn't get any receivers that you wanted in the first three rounds. But I think if you look at the overall depth of the positions and you kind of go through enough of these, you start getting a feel for where you can still find some players and where players are going to dry up pretty quickly. So nine different scenarios that we're going to go through today. Again, some of these I really like. Some I'm like, meh. Some I'm more looking at through the eyes of the Packers and what they generally look for. And then some are just, again, some different like sort of thought exercises, if nothing else. Some I trade up. Most of them I stay put. A couple I trade down. All different sorts of shapes and sizes. There's defensive tackles in round one. There's wide receivers. There's offensive linemen. There are corners. There's a little bit of everything. So we're going to kind of go through these one by one. Look at this. If you're on the YouTube channel, I even got some images for you today. Look at the A+ producing here. You're more than welcome. All right. So draft one is actually, this is just the first one I went through. This is the first mock draft I've done this entire time. This is the very first one that I did. It just so happened to be pretty damn perfect, if I might say so. All right. So here's my very first one. Derek Harmon at defensive tackle in round one. JT Tuamalu at defensive end in round two, and then Jalen Royals, the wide receiver out of Utah State, in round three. I would be very happy if that ended up being the draft for Green Bay. So in this scenario, you start off with Derek Harmon. He's there at pick 23. You don't have to move up. You're not moving down in this scenario. You're just getting one of the better players at defensive tackle in this draft. You feel good about it. You know, maybe you would have liked that edge rusher, but you ultimately get the defensive tackle, you get a pass rusher on the interior, somebody that can stop the run, somebody that I think projects as a long-term three-down defensive tackle for Green Bay, somebody that you don't need to take off the field in any given occasion, not just a pass rusher, not just a run defender, gives you everything, high-end upside. I think he has Pro Bowl potential. I think he's probably just a really, really, really good defensive tackle, but I wouldn't rule anything out. If you told me he was a Pro Bowler, if you told me he was an All-Pro, I would not put it past him. I think the upside is there. I think the floor is there. I think he can come in and help pretty quickly along the defensive front. I think he's going to give you a lot of juice as a pass rusher, both now and more specifically in the long term. He's just a very, very well-rounded player that hits everything that Green Bay is looking for at defensive tackle. This, to me, if the scenario that had happened here where the top defensive ends were off the board, the top wide receivers are off the board, you're looking at just going out and getting in my opinion, what very well might be, you know, one of the top defensive tackles, one of the top defensive players in this draft. In round two, you come back and somehow JT Tuamalu is there in round two. Now, more realistically, you might need to move up a little bit in order to make this happen. I don't think he quite lasts till Green Bay's second pick, but if he does, holy crap. Tuamalu was somebody who was a top high school player that was one of the top recruits. I think the top recruit, or at least that right up there in all of high school players going into college. And if you kind of compare him to the, you know, Nick Bosa's and the Chase Youngs of the world, he didn't live up to that level of hype. But what he did do is come on insanely strong at the very end of last year when Ohio State was battling to try to, you know, get to or win a national championship, and played some of his best football at the end of last year, where it sort of felt like it was starting to slow down and click for him a little bit more. And if you now start taking that unbelievable athletic upside with the player that he was in high school, that everyone thought he was going to become, and now we saw the glimpse of it at the end of this past year, I love his motor. I love his intensity. I love the way he plays the game. You know, he can work on a few more moves, adding those to his arsenal, but I think he's going to be a very, very talented pass rusher in this league. I think he's just starting to find what can be the peak of his powers. That's a home run second round pick to me. And then you get to the third round. You've addressed defensive tackle. You've addressed defensive end. And now you're looking at, all right, wide receiver, offensive line, corner. You only got one more to, you know, that you can do in the top 100 here. Jalen Royals, you know, some might say falls to round three. I think this is probably, I think, appropriate. I liked Royals. I didn't necessarily love Royals, but I think at this stage of the draft, you take the upside, you take some of the things athletically that he brings to the table. He's a pretty smooth route runner. I think he's only going to get better at his releases and his routes as time goes on. His contact balance is great, runs through tackles. He can be an outside wide receiver, can be somebody that also is, you know, working well in the slot. Just a lot of different things that he brings to the table. So this to me, it just so happened to be my very first mock that I did, period. Didn't fudge it, didn't do anything, didn't play around with it. Just I'm like, here we go. Let's do it. Let's see what we can get in the first three rounds. Harmon, Tuamalu, Royals, sign me up. I'd be pretty thrilled with this draft overall. And one that fits Green Bay too. Like, these are three pretty athletically profiled players that fit Green Bay, positions of need, players that I think at least theoretically could be there. Could Harmon go before Green Bay's first pick? Absolutely. Could Tuamalu go before Green Bay's second pick? Absolutely. Could Royals go before their third pick? Absolutely. Like, all of those are well within the realm of reason, but man, if it fell this way, this would be a heck of a draft for Green Bay. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol, and you're going to want to check this out. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down, so just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but when hanging out with my friends during the college basketball tournament, I gave it a shot, and believe me, it's the real deal. And guess what? Spring is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate warm weather. So before you have those drinks on the patio, that tropical vacation, or go to your best friend's wedding, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great the next day. So go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. All right, let's get to our second draft. And you might notice, if again you're on YouTube, I used all different mock draft simulators, and some I went back to, some I came to, but I went through a variety of different tools and just kind of see how this would play out. This is another one that turned out pretty amazing and I'd be pretty excited about for Green Bay. On this one, we don't get to address corner just like in the first one, which again is not necessarily ideal. In this one, we also don't get to address defensive tackle, but we do get to address offensive lineman, wide receiver, and edge rusher. In the second mock draft, Mykel Williams from Georgia is there in the first round. I've said it and I'll double down on it. I think if Mykel Williams is there at 23, he will be the pick for Green Bay. The ability to set the edge, be a big time run defender, great physicality, University of Georgia. You know, you go back to 2023 and look at his tape, athletic freak, projects as a big time pass rusher. Not there yet, but he projects that way. That's just would be my prediction if he's there at 23. I don't know that there's anyone else realistically. If Shamar Stewart and Mykel Williams are both there at 23, that's a little bit more of an interesting scenario. And I could see them going with Stewart. But for the most part, if Stewart's there at 23, I very, 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 very much expect him to be the pick in round one. In round two, I told you about this the other day, Jack Beck, my guy, TCU. I am all the way in. I don't know that there's a wide receiver that maybe fits this team better than Jack Beck. I know there's a lot of Jaden Higgins stands out there. I'm fine with it. I'm cool with it. I'm not against it. I just like Jack Beck a whole heck of a lot more. Higgins, I don't want to say it underwhelmed, but I don't know. Maybe it's all the hype of everyone taking Jaden Higgins in every mock draft, which is, again, the difference of Harmon. Harmon, everyone has been talking about. I watched him, and I'm like, yep, get it. With Higgins, I was a little bit more of like, yeah, I'm okay with it. It's fine. But again, I wouldn't love it. Jack Beck, outside, inside, all three layers of the field. You know, he can win down the field. He really can. He separates, he stacks. He's a good route runner, good contact balance, run after the catch. He's got everything. I don't know what more that you want, quite frankly. I don't know that he gets to Green Bay in round two. This might be another one that they have to move up for a little bit, but this would be a overjoy on my part if you got Mykel Williams and Jack Beck in rounds one and two. And then the third one was just sort of a combination of kind of too good to pass up on, but also Green Bay gets a little frisky in round three from time to time, and they do some wonky things, and sometimes it pays off, like Tucker Kraft and Sean Ryan, and other times it doesn't. But Marcus Bau, the offensive tackle out of Purdue, this was one of my favorite watches of anyone that I've watched so far in this draft. Not favorite in like, he's my guy and I think he's going to be amazing favorite. Favorite just in that I love his play style. I don't think he has any idea what he's doing yet. He is unbelievably athletic. He moves like, I don't even, like, not even like a tight end, like an H-back. He's so fast. He's all over the place. He's absolutely all over the place. They say he doesn't know what he's doing yet. The athleticism is, whew, it's fun. It's very fun. Can get to any level of the field that he wants to. I mean, you could throw him out on a freaking nine route. He's moving so dang fast. But a lot of technique work needs to be done. But when you're taking Bau in the third round here, you're not taking him to come in and be a plug-and-play starter. You're taking him understanding that there's going to be some assembly required. And the upside is tremendous. I do think that he could become a very talented offensive tackle. I think it is even more likely that he probably just doesn't turn out, if I'm being honest, which is, to be fair, like almost every pick. If you want to be right more than any other analyst, I say it every year, just say that everyone's going to fail and your hit rate's going to be like 95%. So, but in general, like, I think the risk here with Bau is very high, but the reward is fun too. And I love his demeanor. I love the way he plays. And if you can just rein him in and teach him some technical skills, man, could he be just a fantastic offensive tackle. So I like the flyer here in round three. Again, not my favorite, like, yep, he's going to come in and be great sort of pick, but the player is really, really fun. And I'd be very intrigued to see what he could do in Green Bay. So Mykel Williams, Jack Beck, Marcus Bau, and this one, again, don't get a corner, don't get a defensive tackle. You do address pass rush and defensive end. You do get your wide receiver. You do get another offensive lineman to build the depth there. You're going to have to go corner and defensive tackle hunting on day three in the draft, which I think is okay. I think you can go and get a couple corners to fill out the back of that roster. That you can still find some defensive tackles, specifically some run-stopping defensive tackles on day three. I think you can attack it that way. I feel pretty good about how this one fell. All right, let's get to our third mock draft, or our third, you know, three-round mock draft here. This one is more of like just a very Packers-y draft where it's like, we should have saw that coming. Nobody really predicted it to happen this way. These are mostly Packers types with a surprise in round one. Not what I would do in this situation, but one that if you told me happened, I'd be like, yeah, that's a very Packers draft. Starting with round one, Josh Simmons, a player that I think a lot of fans are hoping maybe Green Bay is not involved with. Torn patella tendon this past year, was trending to be one of the top offensive linemen taken in this draft, if not the top offensive lineman taken in this draft. that you would have been right in the conversation with Campbell and Membu if he stayed in the draft. Or sorry, if he was healthy going into the draft, excuse me. So to me, you get a huge value here if your medical team cleared him. Here's the thing. I have spoken with people in the organization about how the medical works for Green Bay. If the medical team examines a player and they say, nope, Goody goes with it. There's no questions asked. He trusts the medical staff unequivocally, and he's just off the board if that ends up happening. So if they take, in this case, Josh Simmons, and they move forward, that means the medical team was completely good with moving forward with Josh Simmons, no long-term concerns with his injury, which is the only way Green Bay would take him. But I know you're coming off injury. You're not exactly sure when he's going to be able to come in and play. And you're probably looking at him for the most part as a red shirt in 2025. At least that's your hope, that Morgan and Walker can go out and compete at left tackle. You don't have a ton of injuries. You got Ryan and Banks at guard, Jenkins at center, Tom at the other tackle, and that you don't really need him this year. And then next year, you probably start looking at a line of Simmons, Banks, Jenkins, Morgan, and Zach Tom, which you feel really good about. I could see them going in that direction. He might just be a value that is just way too good to pass up at that point in the draft. TJ Sanders, very Packers-y defensive tackle, high-end upside, great athleticism, great traits. Going to have to put, again, some work in to kind of get the technique stuff down, but a very Packers-y defensive tackle. And then Torrey Horton, the wide receiver, kind of similar thing. Brought him in for a top 30 visit, hits the height, weight, speed thresholds that Green Bay looks for, hits all the thresholds that Green Bay looks for at wide receiver. Like, these are two players that are very Packers-y types. I could easily see Sanders and Horton going in 2 and 3. You know, maybe it's not Simmons in round one. Maybe it's one of the other guys we talked about. Maybe a Michael Williams is there. Maybe a Shamar Stewart's there. But this would be one of those where I don't think anyone's really predicting a Simmons, Sanders, Horton draft, but we could get to draft day, or, you know, kind of going into the Saturday of the draft and looking back at the first three rounds and being like, man, nobody really saw that coming, but we probably should have. And I could see those three being on the, yeah, we probably should have expected that a little bit more list for Green Bay. My fourth draft. Sure, get it up here. All right. We finally get to Shamar Stewart. This is a very Packers-y, extreme high upside draft that you are looking at players who are hopefully going to reach their ceilings, that you're doing a little bit of projection here at three positions of need: defensive end, wide receiver, and defensive tackle. Shamar Stewart in round one, Jaden Higgins in round two, Joshua Farmer in round three. You're talking about a defensive end that's a 10.0 relative athletic score guy. Wouldn't have been if he did the agility testing, but probably would have been still like a 9.5 or something like that. He's an athletic freak. He has unbelievable strength and speed. He's going to come in and I think make an impact. Maybe not high sack numbers, just like we saw in college, but pressures, chaos, and I think he's going to be able to be a very nice rotational piece immediately on day one for Green Bay with an incredible, incredible upside. Jaden Higgins, sort of similar, right? Except he had more production in college, no question about that. But this is a height, weight, speed, super athlete that you're bringing in that had moments in college, but it wasn't maybe consistent enough. And the traits and the flashes would tell you there's someone that's even better in the future than what we've maybe seen in college from him so far. It's another upside play this time at wide receiver. And then Josh Farmer, same thing, right? He has not put together all the traits to figure out how to be a dominant defensive tackle. But athletically, and what you're looking for at the position, he has everything that you need to become a top-tier defensive tackle. So this is a very high upside. We're going to try to go big game hunting. We're going to try to hit on some big-time players with Shamar Stewart, Jaden Higgins, and Josh Farmer. We might get some of them wrong, but if one of them pays off in a major way, it'll probably be worth it. Hopefully the other couple can hang around and give some some quality, just downs and starts and everything else through their time in Green Bay. But if you hit on one of those in a big way, that will almost pay off the other two in and of itself. Very Packers-y type draft. Number five. This was one where I was able to trade down a little bit. And in this scenario, pick up an extra pick. So I trade down to, I think, a little bit later in round one, and I'm able to pick up a third round pick in this scenario as well. And this is the one I label, let's fix the passing game on both sides of the ball. On the first one, we get Donovan Ezeraku, pass rusher out of Boston College. Maybe still wishful thinking on my end. If I were betting, I would say he's probably not super high on the Packers board because of the measurables. He's a little bit on the light side, a little bit on the short side. It's not what usually Green Bay looks for, but he does have that Jeff Hafley Boston College connection on the team, and maybe that just goes a long way in helping him actually get his foot in the door in Green Bay. So you get Donovan Azeraku, big-time pass rusher in round one. You come back and get Jack Beck, who we've talked about, who I think is a perfect fit at wide receiver in round two. Then you've got two third-round picks. We talked about Josh Farmer. We get Josh Farmer again here, high upside play at defensive tackle. And then we double up at wide receiver and get Dante Thornton, the super speedy wide receiver out of Tennessee, that I think gives you sort of this lottery ticket at the end of day two, at the end of round three, to go and get this height, weight, speed wide receiver that is still a little bit of a work in progress, but man, has everything that you cannot teach at the position. So this is, again, very pass-oriented. You get two pass rushers, Donovan Azeraku at defensive end, Josh Farmer at defensive tackle. Then you get two wide receivers in Jack Beck and Dante Thornton that are two different types of wide receivers, but that should be able to come in and give you a definitely more competition, but some very sweet attributes and just different traits to that wide receiver room that it maybe doesn't have right now, specifically in Dante Thornton, that just that height, weight, speed. There's your, he's not Christian Watson, but maybe more of like an MVS type player with, I think, much higher upside than what MVS ever had. So that's your fifth one, Donovan Azeraku, Jack Beck, Josh Farmer, and Dante Thornton. Let's go to our sixth one. We have another trade back scenario here. We're able to trade back with Philly, pick up their second rounder. All right, so we get the late second, and you also get a 2026 fifth round pick by doing so as well. So this is a trade down with some very Packers-y type defensive and I guess one offensive player in this scenario. You get Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle, in round one. I've talked about three technique. I think there's a little bit too much similarity with Devontae Wyatt. I kind of prefer maybe something a little bit different, maybe a little bit different of a flavor, but there's no denying that he's a very talented individual that has high end upside, that can stop the run specifically as a penetrator. And that also projects to be a potential big time pass rusher in the NFL, and maybe not willing to take him at 23. But in this case scenario, you move down to the end of round one and still get this very high upside defensive tackle. Then in round two, you've got two picks. And you go defense again. You go Azaray Thomas, the corner out of Florida State, and Landon Jackson, the edge rusher out of Arkansas. And now you kind of attack everything that you needed on defense with your first three picks. Nolan at defensive tackle, Thomas at corner, and Landon Jackson at defensive end. Really, you know, solidifying what was already an impressive Jeff Hafley defense in year one. Now you get a pass rusher that has high-end upside, 6'6", just a really impressive human being. And then you get, Azaray Thomas, I think a good fit for this defense, good athletic traits, high upside as well. And Walter Nolan, we talked about at defensive tackle. Plus, with that second, third round pick, or I should say your first, third round pick, the other were second round picks, but with your third round pick, you get Ty Felton, the wide receiver that they brought in on a top 30 visit. Good run after the catch. I like his size. Needs a little bit of refinement. I think there's maybe some other wide receivers in round three that maybe could make a little bit more sense, but I did really like Ty Felton, and I think he could be in play at the end of round three. Plus, again, you've got that 2026 fifth round pick, which is, you know, what more do you really want coming out of a draft than a future fifth round pick? All right, we've got three more to go over. Our next one is a very interesting one. This is another one that would be like, all right, well, I'm cool with this one. Matthew Golden falls to 23. And he proves to be just too high of a value for Green Bay to pass up on. You get your speedy wide receiver, you get an outside wide receiver, good route runner, solid run after the catch, plucks the ball out of the air, kind of gives you all the things that you're looking for at wide receiver. And he's going to come in and bring competition and, you know, just make it so that everyone's going to have to earn their spots this next year. He has the potential to be a big time player. I think he projects as a high end number two with the ability to become a number one if he continues to progress in the right direction. JTT in the second round to Omalu. Again, we talked about that, would be thrilled with that pick. And then Noel Williams, the corner in the third round. So in this one, you go a little bit more, again, pass sort of heavy. You get the wide receiver, you get the corner, and you get the pass rusher. You miss out on defensive tackle and offensive line, but I think Packers fans would overall be pretty pleased with this. You get Matthew Golden, again, big time upside as a wide receiver. I think JTT still has a ton of upside as a pass rusher. I think in most drafts, he would be a first round pick. Just as a very deep defensive end draft, at least early in the first couple of rounds. And then Noel Williams at corner, somebody who fits the scheme, good size, good ball skills. I think there's some things he needs to clean up a little bit. I think sometimes he gets caught in some, you know, some transitions and maybe peeking in the backfield a little bit. But in the third round, there's certainly value there. And you get your corner and somebody that I think could come in and compete right away. All right, let's get to our penultimate draft today, our second to last one. This one, Will Johnson falls to 23, and Green Bay just finds him too good to pass up on. Then you get Jalen Royals in the second round. Green Bay goes wide receiver. And then they get Jordan Morgan's teammate from Arizona, Jonah Siavanea. Probably butchering that name. My apologies, Jonah. But the thing about Siavanea is that there's a lot of Sean Ryan sort of comparisons, like height, weight, speed, somebody that is going to have to kind of come in. You know, Sean Ryan played some tackle in college. He moved to guard. You know, Siavanea is likely somebody who's going to have to be an outside or was an outside player in college. He's probably going to have to move inside to guard. And I think you're going to have to tear him down a little bit. I think all the traits are there. He's got a good demeanor, but I think you're going to have to teach him a new position and kind of start a little bit from square one from a technique standpoint. But if he gets there, I think he could be a starting guard maybe in a year or two, or at least have the ability to be that. He's a fun player. A lot of work to do technically, but I think the fit is there. And again, we've seen Green Bay take a very similar player in Sean Ryan, who was struggling and had some suspension issues and some weight issues, and they turned it around and made him into a really solid player. I think they could do something similar with Siavanea. So in that one, you get Will Johnson, the talented corner in round one, Jalen Royals, the wide receiver in round two, and then Siavanea in round three. Last but not least, our trade-up scenario. This is the we fell in love with Tet trade. Somehow he's, well, not somehow, I think it's possible. He's still there at pick 17. Green Bay makes the call. They give up their third round pick in order to get up higher in the first round at pick 17. They take Tet McMillan. He's going to give them their outside wide receiver, potential playmaker, and somebody who can, I think, just have a little bit of tension on him at wide receiver. I think that's going to open things up for the rest of the wide receivers. And again, I think they could even maybe go with one a little bit later if the price was right as well. But they get Tet by moving up. And then Landon Jackson's still there in the second round. Talk about a huge human being draft. You get 6'6", Landon Jackson, and 6'4", Tet McMillan. Some behemoths at their respective positions. Again, we talked about Jackson. 6'6", height, weight, speed. His testing was through the roof. Played well at the Senior Bowl. I think, again, he's probably gone by Green Bay's second pick. But if he's there, it should be a no-brainer. So we did 9 different drafts. And again, number one was Derek Harmon, JT Tuamalu, and Jalen Royals. There, that one is. Round two, or mock two, is Mykel Williams, Jack Beck, and Marcus Bough. Three is Josh Simmons, TJ Sanders, and Torrey Horton. Four, Shamar Stewart, Jaden Higgins, and Josh Farmer. Five, Donovan Ezeraku, Jack Beck, Josh Farmer, and Dante Thornton. Six is Walter Nolan, Ezra Thomas, Landon Jackson, Ty Felton, and a 2026 fifth round pick. Number seven is Matthew Golden, JTT, and Jonah Siavanea. Then number eight was Will Johnson, Jalen Royals, and Jonah. Sorry, number seven, I take it back, was Matthew Golden, JTT, and Noel Williams. Eight was Will Johnson, Jalen Royals, and Jonah Siavanea. And then number nine was Tet McMillan and Landon Jackson. Let me know what you think. You probably hate them. I get it. Everyone has their own little preferences, but let me know which one you like the most, which ones you like the least. And again, these are not me saying this is what Green Bay should do. It's not what I would do necessarily, but it's just different scenarios of how they can maybe get to attacking some of these positions that I know they want to attack, but still leaving themselves some leeway and to kind of maneuver the board a little bit later, depending on what they do in round one and then two and so on and so forth. It'll be very, very interesting. What I learned on this one is, I think you want to get that edge rusher early if you can. I think that position starts to fall off a little bit more. I think at wide receiver, you can find some guys in round two and round three that feel pretty comfortable with. Same thing with defensive tackle, even going into day three in the draft, guys there that I still feel comfortable with. So I would probably stay away from those a little bit more in the first round. But at the same time, you have to let the board fall to you, take the best player available, and kind of figure out the rest later. That dynamic is going to be very interesting to weigh out in this draft as well. Some move up possibilities, some move down possibilities. I'm very intrigued. I mean, I'm also very, like I said, intrigued as to what you guys think. Which one of these drafts was most impressive to you? I think for me, Harmon, JTT, and Royals was right up there as probably number one. Then Mikel Williams, Jack Back, and Marcus Bau was probably number two. Donovan Azaraku, Jack Back, Joshua Farmer, and Dante Thornton was number three. You could even probably put that at number two. I'd be fine with that as well. And then Matthew Golden, JTT, and then Noel Williams was probably my fourth favorite. The other ones are fine, but those are probably my top four, with, again, one being Harmon, JTT, and Royals, which just so happened to be the first mock that I did all year long. That's going to do it for me today. Again, we'd love to hear from you guys. Shout out what you think. Scouting reports for the last top 30 visits will be coming out tomorrow, so look forward to that. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkle, Jen Wright, Ian Houle, and Matt Geiger. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.